Welcome to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. Today, another nonprofit spotlight. We do this about quarterly. There are many needs in our communities, and so many step up to help, including probably you, probably somebody you know. And the point of the program today is to shine a light on your favorite nonprofit or individual doing good in your community. Give them a couple of minutes of the good stuff, of recognition, and to maybe encourage others to give time, money, whatever it might be. And so we bring in, as always, Amy Anderson, Regional Coordinator for Boulder Way Forward. Thanks for coming in.
You're welcome, Tom. It's always great to be here.
Thank you. We'll hear from representatives from nonprofits throughout the hour, and we hope to hear from you. So you can reach us right now by email to upraccess@gmail.com, 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 or you can call us. And we recently had a change in our phone system, so that zapped our usual 800 number. So we've all got it memorized, but now it's useless. So call 435-797-8877. That's still pretty easy to remember.
It is.
797-8877, 435 area code, 435-797-8877. And I believe right off the bat we have Gail on the line, do we?
Yes, hi.
Hi, Gail. What do you want to promote here?
We are having an event on Saturday. That's like in 3 days at the Presbyterian Church at 178 West Center. It's from 11 to 1:30. And our mission is to have an event where people can meet other people and join stuff.
Okay, meet other people, join stuff. So this will be at the First Presbyterian Church?
Yes, yeah, in Bruner Hall. There's a ramp on the east side of the building and an elevator that will get you up to the hall. Or there's an outside stairway, which we'll be able to use because it's not snowing again.
That's right, yeah, we had the big snow last week. So tell us again, this is kind of networking, kind of connecting people?
Well, what happened was I met a couple of ladies at an event that was kind of indirectly sponsored by Indivisible, and we were talking about this. There's some research that's been done. It's featured in a book called Bowling Alone that's been around for probably 30 years that shows that there's a couple of things that are increasingly over the last 30 years, big problems, political division and government, I don't know, ineffectiveness and physical health are both affected by being isolated. And what they've shown is that if you join a club, you reduce your chances of dying in the next year in half.
Wow.
So it's, mm-hmm. it's a pretty profound difference. Mm-hmm. And on a social level, on a governmental level, if you want your government to, like, take care of potholes and sewage and schools and the things that are important, one of the things that makes a difference is people participating in something as simple as bowling leagues. If you bowl with people and there's a healthy bowling community, your whole community is healthier.
Well, it's wonderful. So you're trying to connect people, strengthen the social fabric. Tell us again what the particulars, when and where.
It's at the Presbyterian Church at 178 West Center on Saturday, February 28th, from 11 a.m. to 1:30.
All right. Well, thank you. Thanks for doing that, and thanks for telling us about it.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's Gail. That sounds interesting, Amy.
Yeah, I know they've invited lots of different organizations and clubs, so it's an opportunity for people to go around the tables and, you know, spend a minute or two seeing if that's a good fit for them. And I think it is really timely. There is a lot of research just on how, not just because of COVID-19 pandemic that we experienced, but that people are feeling more and more isolated. And this is a really interesting way that just some local community members said, I think we need to do something to help improve our community. And, you know, kudos to them for stepping up. And I hope other people get inspired by that and look at issues or problems they see in our communities and say, here's a way that I can help.
And this could be statewide. We're broadcasting statewide, so that's on West Center in Logan, I should stress, First Presbyterian Church in Logan this Saturday. Here's another event on Saturday. We had an email from Hillary Shugart, who we always look forward to hearing from. Hillary says, come and visit with the Bridgeland Audubon Society and the Cache Valley Starlight Alliance. This Saturday, February 28th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., at the Join Up Cache Valley event. So she's touting the same thing here. Bruner Hall, Presbyterian Church, 178 West Center Street. And so that's the event that Gail was just talking about. And Hillary is urging you to come as well. And then Hillary says, learn more about birding with the Bridgeland Audubon and the Bridgeland Audubon Society at bridgelandaudubon.org. It's Bridgeland Audubon, AUDUBON.org, bridgelandaudubon.org. Or if you have questions, you can call 435-213-3668. That's 435-213-3668, and that's from Hillary. Do you have something you'd like to...
There are always so many different things going on in our community that we could share. I also like to just give a little plug for the work that I do with A Bolder Way Forward for people who aren't familiar. It is part of Utah State University's Utah or the Extension, and we work across the state in all of our counties trying to identify ways to help girls and women thrive, because when girls and women thrive, families thrive. So it's a way to help lift and empower all Utahns. So if people are interested in learning more about how to get engaged, they can visit the Utah Women in Leadership page at Utah State University and identify your county and click and see who's engaged, what are they working on. It ranges from things from helping to address the pay gap that exists in our state, to helping to reduce rates of domestic violence and child sexual abuse, to ways to encourage and improve the health of women and girls across our state in lots of different ways. So again, just a way that we're bringing together people from community organizations, individuals with passions for certain areas to try to help lift every Utahn here in our state.
That's great. And then Amy, you forwarded to me an email from Emily. Equal Pay Day event is on Wednesday, March 4th, Silicon Slopes, for you to share your sphere of influence. So that's March 4th, hosted by Silicon Slopes and Boulder Way Forward.
Yep, and I think people may not realize, but that date is selected because on average, that's how much longer a woman has to work to equal the pay of a man. So there's data supporting it. I know sometimes it's hard to kind of fathom that, but yeah, it takes a little bit longer for women to reach that equal pay status.
Yeah. So I just want to share this as well. I got this email from a person with Red Cross. And so they're urging Utah to increase blood donations to help people in the Northeast with all those winter storms. We got hit, but they're really getting hit in the Northeast. So Keith Paul, he's a Red Cross representative for Utah and Nevada. He says winter storms continue to disrupt blood collection across the country, and a major blizzard in the Northeast has forced additional American Red Cross blood drive cancellations, further straining the national blood supply. Red Cross is urging eligible donors of all blood types to give, an especially urgent need for O-positive and O-negative blood. Blood drives in Utah have not been impacted by the latest storm, making donations collected here especially important in helping hospitals meet patient needs. So this blood goes all around the country, so help people out in the Northeast by giving here, and of course it helps people in Utah as well.
And you can just go to the American Red Cross website and click Find a Blood Drive Near You. So whether you're up here in Cache Valley or you're down in southern Utah, there are always opportunities to give blood. I can't do it personally because I am a huge fainter. So there's other ways, though. You can always donate funds as well to the Red Cross if you're not in a position where you feel like you can give blood.
Certainly give some money or whatever, or volunteer to help with without giving blood. But if you can give blood, certainly life-giving. Again, the number to call if you would like to spotlight an organization or individual doing good in your community, 797-8877. That's 435 area code, 435-797-8877, 435-797-8877. Or use our email, upraccess@gmail.com, upraccess@gmail.com. That's upraccess@gmail.com. Wanted to, I got a note here. This is interesting twist on this. The college that we're a part of here at Utah Public Radio, Arts and Sciences, is hosting a nonprofit career fair. That's March 19th on the USU campus. And so if you're interested in making a career in the nonprofits, here's an opportunity for you to attend that. Various organizations, BRAG is going to be there, Bridgeland Literacy, Cash Employment and Training Center. It's kind of a who's who of people we should spotlight here, Amy.
Absolutely.
CAPSA, USU, Golden Bark Foundation. So a lot of organizations are going to be there, and if you're interested in making a career in nonprofits.
Yeah, and I think Nelda Alt is the individual here at USU who is coordinating that. So I know there's still room for other nonprofit organizations. So if you are familiar with one, encourage them to reach out to see if they can get a table. But yeah, it's a great way for students in particular to learn. If you are an organization that sponsors internships, for example, this is a great way to reach out to those students and let them know what you're doing. If you have volunteer hours that you need to fill, it's a great way to reach out to those students. I know many professors, especially in different programs like social work, et cetera, do encourage their students to get out into the community. And I know as a former city council member here in Logan, the city itself is looking at ways to better engage with USU students to make them feel part of the community and to help raise that awareness of how important it is to give back.
Certainly. So, I applaud this. Contact Nelda at USU if you have questions. Well, that's March 19th, the College of Arts and Sciences Nonprofit Careers event. Some other organizations here: Make-A-Wish Utah, My Healing Home, No More a Stranger Foundation, Ogden Nature Center, Student Nutrition and Access Center. That's important. If you're a hungry student, you got a food pantry right on campus.
Yep, absolutely.
Utah State University.
And I'll give a shout out to the SNAC group as well. For those of you who live up here in northern Utah, you hopefully know that the William A. Bernard Warming Center opened and is in its fourth season of helping provide shelter on the coldest nights of the year here. But SNAC has been helping with preparing meal packages, too, for those individuals that find themselves in that situation where they don't have shelter. That obviously means you also don't have a kitchen. And so they've been preparing meals and bringing those down to the Warming Center to feed people in the moment and also to provide some nutrition for them to take away. So, again, great collaboration between different organizations here in our communities that help to lift those who are in need.
And speaking of the WAB Warming Center, you can find them at wabwarmingcenter.org, wabwarmingcenter.org. It's located right now in the Episcopal Church, right? So if you need that service, but if you want to help, you can help by volunteering, right? They need people to be there. Money, and there are a lot of goods that you, so just go to that website and you can donate.
Yep, I know right now they're driving, or their need drive is sweatpants. So they have an Amazon wish list. So you can go to, as Tom said, you can go to their website. You can look at how can I help. You can either click to learn more about volunteering in person, but you can also see what those financial needs might be. And it's as simple as most of us, unfortunately, I think, do a lot of Amazon shopping. So
right.
When you're on there looking for yourself, you can always go to the wish list for the Warming Center and see what their current needs are and perhaps spend some time shopping for them as well.
Wonderful. So just to reset the scene here, we're doing a nonprofit spotlight. We do this about quarterly here on Access Utah. We want to just highlight some great organizations and individuals doing good. And here's your chance to shine a 2 or 3 minute long spotlight on your favorite organization, boost their donations, and help them out. You can reach us a couple different ways. Call 435 435- 797-8877. 435-797-8877. That's 435-797-8877. Or email us to upraxcess@gmail.com. upraxcess@gmail.com. That's upraxcess@gmail.com. We have Amy Anderson, who's regional coordinator for Boulder Way Forward, with us, very plugged into the nonprofit world. We'll have more following this break.
Canadian superstar Sarah McLachlan is back with a new album, her first in 11 years. She joined me in front of a live studio audience to sing a few songs, to talk about the new record, and about a new documentary that celebrates her all-female music festival, Lilith Fair. That's coming up on Q from CBC.
Tune in Friday morning at 10 and Saturday afternoon at 3 here on UPR.
It's American Roots Live, in concert and conversation with New Orleans artists connecting family traditions to new music. Singer, cellist, banjo player Layla McCalla invokes French Creole roots. Then saxophonist Donald Harrison brings soul, funk, and black carnival to jazz. On American Roots from PRX.
Tune in Saturday evening at 8 here on UPR.
Thanks for joining us for Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. I'm joined by Amy Anderson, who's with the Boulder Way Forward and former Logan City Councilwoman and plugged into the nonprofit scene. So we have Amy Anderson on about Quarterly. We just want to shine a light on your favorite nonprofit organization doing good in your community. And I just want to emphasize, this need not be Cache Valley. So it could be anywhere in the state. Love to hear from you. One thing, Amy, I wanted to spotlight, it turns out they've really been growing, is a Switch Point.
Mm.
It started in St. George.
Yes, it did.
I went actually over to their facility when I was down there once. And they're now in Salt Lake and various areas. They've become a fairly large organization. They have an emergency shelter. They have food pantries, but they also have case management, employment, job support, mental health, child care. So long-term housing, a lot of services at switchpoint.org.
Yeah, and Switchpoint is, as you said, they started down in St. George, but they also help with the homeless shelter in Tooele. They have done a lot of things in the Salt Lake area as well. Last year, they created a temporary community of like little small pods for individuals who could come in and look for shelter there. So yes, Switchpoint has been a leader in our state in providing homeless services. I know they're very engaged with the Office of Homeless Services as they look forward to how do we help address this ongoing concern in our state. So they've been a great advocate. A new organization that's been working in the Uinta Basin is called Heart of the Basin, and they just opened a warming center this year for the first time. I'll say they helped model it off of what the William A. Bernard Center was doing here in Cache County, but you know they have that same idea that every person deserves warmth and care and hope, and they're trying to find a way to provide a safe haven for those that are in need. So if you live in the Uinta Basin, I know that they've really been struggling with trying to find volunteers. It's a difficult thing because you need at least two people overnight to help make sure that the individuals, the guests that show up, are safe. And so if you're interested in learning more about what's happening there in the Uinta Basin, Lindsay Garlick is the individual who's been responsible for that, but you can give them a call at 435-722-7272, an even easier number than yours, Tom.
Yes.
Again, that's covering Daggett, Duchesne, and Uinta Basin area. New organization, and again, just kind of prompted by people seeing there's a need here in our community that needs to be met, and brought together individuals, found a location. I know that they're meeting at a church. I don't know offhand which one it is, but they really are working hard at trying to find a way to provide support.
Well, that's wonderful. People probably know that's my hometown, Vernal. So I'm a Uintah Basin boy, so I'm very proud of these folks. Tell me again the name of the organization and how do you contact them?
Sure. It's heartofthebasin.org is their website. And if you'd like to learn more about how you can volunteer, their phone number is 435-722-7272. So maybe you have some relatives there still, Tom, that you could encourage that's, to go help well, and volunteer.
Got a couple sisters there. Encourage them to go volunteer. Yeah. Let's bring in Karina Brown is on the line from Crick. Karina, thanks for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me, Tom.
So some people may not know what Crick is. What is Crick?
Crick is Cache Refugee and Immigrant Connection. So we're a nonprofit dedicated to serving refugees and immigrants as they make Cache Valley their home.
Oh, wonderful. So what sorts of services do you provide?
Well, Crick provides walk-in hour support, citizenship and driver's license tutoring, financial literacy courses, and employment assistance. And we also have walk-in hours that supports the community Monday through Thursday. And people are able to get assistance with everything from helping with medical bills or job searches, a lot of different things that we're able to help them with during walk-in hours.
So I just Googled you. Looks like cacherefugees.org. Is that a good website?
Yes, cacherefugees.org.
Is that the best contact point?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. We have information on our website about our hours, our phone number, and our programs as well.
So you're providing these services. That doesn't come from nothing. How can people help?
People can help by volunteering, or if they don't have time to donate, they could donate money. There's a QR code, I think, on our website where people can donate money. We have a lot of different volunteer opportunities. If people like helping out with events, we have our harvest dinner coming up this fall. We have volunteers that help with Job Club. They help our clients apply for different jobs and help them with their resumes. We even have volunteers that clean our office. So there's a lot of different ways that people can get involved depending on their time and what they're interested in.
I think one of the programs that I really appreciate that you do, Karina, is your citizenship tutoring. So for individuals who want to become a United States citizen, I know I'm assuming you still set up that with volunteers to help people tutor to study for the test and in civics. And someone I know who did that said it was also a really good refresher for them to understand and appreciate again, because many of us took civics back when we were in high school, and depending on our age, it's been a long time. So I think, again, like volunteering, sometimes it helps you as well as it helps the person that you're assisting. So again, I think that's really one of the really interesting things that Crick has done, and is to help individuals obtain their citizenship here in the United States.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Amy, for bringing that up. And we had a really big highlight this week. We had 39 graduates from our financial literacy program on Monday night, and the instructor for that is Lurban Moore, and she taught the recent class in Spanish, and so it was really inspiring to see the graduates and their families in the office, and really appreciative about all that they learned in that course.
Wow, so 39 graduates?
That's great.
Yes.
Wonderful. Well, yeah, a lot of good going on there, Crick. This is interesting. People saw a need, right? You were established, I think, 2014?
Yes, Nelda Alt-Dislin began originally in 2011, but in 2014 they obtained the nonprofit status. But she recognized when she was working for Department of Workforce Services that refugee families in Cache Valley were struggling to access basic services. And so what started as volunteer case management grew into the formal nonprofit in 2014. So she's an amazing person.
Yeah, it just takes individuals in our community. And then to keep these going, it takes people volunteering, helping out, right?
Right. It's amazing to see the generosity of the community and what happens when people come together and serve and lift others. It's really amazing.
So now, to remind me where you're actually physically located.
We're located on the west side of my girlfriend's quilt shop in that building. So that's right over kind of by Home Depot.
Okay, off of First East.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So tell us again, how do we contact CRIC, and then how can people help?
Yes, you can find out more about our organization, Cash Refugee and Immigrant Connection, by going to our website, cashrefugees.org. And on the website, there's our phone number, QR codes, our email address, and we'd be happy to talk with you about how you'd like to help.
All right. Wonderful. Oh, Karina Brown from CRIC, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Tom and Amy. Thanks.
Thanks for the great work you're doing, and thanks for giving CRIC a shout out.
Kind of in that same vein, I give a little shout out to the English Language Center?
Yeah.
For those of you who are not familiar, gosh, what's Katie's last name? She's been there for forever at the English Language Center. But they are also a nonprofit here in our community. They are located on 2nd West at about 1400 North.
Yeah.
But they are actually getting ready to hold their annual fundraiser. Let me pull up that information. I had somebody text it to me earlier today.
And they're kind of in a similar space, right? English Language Center. They provide, teach you a language, but mm-hmm. they provide services, other services as well.
Yep. So they help non-English speakers. They help them navigate the community. They help them apply for jobs, learn the bus system, how to help them enroll their children in schools. They help them make doctors and dental appointments, and similar to CRIC, help people understand the financial system here in the United States. But they are holding their annual benefit dinner on March 25th. It's at the Riverwoods Conference Center. It's going to be dinner, live music, an auction. They're having the Cache Valley Children's Choir is going to be the entertainment. They have an opportunity drawing. Some really great local businesses are donating items for their auction. They're funded by grants and endowments, but primarily a lot of it comes from the local community. They do not have federal funding at the ELC. Students who are enrolling to help learn English pay just a minimum of $25 per quarter, which really basically barely covers the cost of the materials that they need. So community support is really important to keep this important organization going. So people can purchase tickets up until the 13th. Their website is elc-cv.org. Tickets are $95 a person. You can buy tables of 10. But again, this is one of those organizations that's been around for quite a long time and really does help individuals integrate into our community and get the assistance and help that they need to be productive members of our society. So, again, a great organization. They also always need help with individuals who are willing to come in and help during the classroom hours. They do have teachers that are specialists in teaching English as the second language, but they do like to have other volunteers in the classroom to give that one-on-one attention to individuals who are there. So, again, encourage you get to know the English Language Center.
English Language Center of Cache Valley.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a great place. Who else would you like to spotlight here, Amy?
So one of my long-term favorites, and I'll admit my bias, I was part of the group that started to get the Loaves and Fishes Community Meal going here in Logan, 12, 13 years ago now. It's been a long time. But that is a meal that is held every first and third Saturday at First Presbyterian Church. It's free. Although there are many people in our community that are in food poverty, the intention of this meal is not just to fill people's bellies, but it is to build community and to bring people together around a common table. They have now served over 22,000 meals in their lifespan. They've had over 5,000 volunteers participate. An innumerable number of lives have been touched by Loaves and Fishes Community Meal. they have a great number of supporters that help. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, through their Bishop Storehouse, helps provide food, the Cache Valley Food Pantry. But they also have great local places, like Great Harvest donates food. The Firehouse Pizza quarterly provides an entire meal for individuals at the Loaves and Fishes meal. But if you'd like to learn more, their website is loganloavesandfishes.org. And again, the meal is held every first and third Saturday, starting at 11:30. The way that they provide their volunteers is often with groups sign up to agree to bring in 25 to 35 volunteers. They do meal prep on Friday nights, and then individuals come in the morning, set up the space, prepare the meal, serve it, clean, etc. Twice a year, when they do the kind of holiday meals around Thanksgiving and Christmas, is a time when families can even come and younger people can come and help. Typically, you need to be 16 to volunteer in the kitchen. You don't need a food handler's permit. The volunteers that help staff this cover that. But again, just a really great way. When I was more actively involved, I think the hardest thing was people would come to help, and we would say, now it's time to go eat. And they'd be like, oh, no. I don't need to eat. I'm just here to help. And we were like, no, the way you can help is to sit down and break bread with another person. It might be somebody in food poverty. It might not. But it's a way to kind of get to know the individuals in your community who are here. So again, encourage people, just show up to eat. Or if you'd like, go to their website and learn how you can maybe help volunteer.
Loavesandfishes.org, I think.
Correct.
So loavesandfishes.org. That's a great, I've had an opportunity to go to the meal several times. It's a great way to strengthen community.
It is. And if you play an instrument, if you want to come and play the piano or sing a song, et cetera, too, I mean, those are wonderful ways to volunteer as well, to kind of help elevate the experience for everybody involved.
Yeah.
But always super grateful to First Presbyterian for their continued support of that. They volunteer the space. They allow the meal to continue, and it's been a great addition to our community for over a decade.
Notice they usually have a little table for children. They can do drawings and such.
Yep, absolutely.
Nice. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Loavesandfishes.org. Yeah.
Great. Yeah. Loganloavesandfishes.org.
Oh, Logan.
Loganloavesandfishes.org.
Yeah, wonderful. I just want to mention justserve.org. It's kind of a clearinghouse, mm-hmm. right? You can put your need up there, and you can go to find a volunteer opportunity. I'm quite familiar with this because my wife and her sister often.
Oh.
Yeah, my wife won't like me mentioning this. She just wants to serve in anonymity. But anyway, those two are always doing something that they find on JustServe.
That's great. Yeah, it's a great organization, and they do support so many of our nonprofits across the state in terms of making sure people are aware of what volunteer activities are happening. They're another great organization. On a different topic, kind of switching, I just want to make sure people are aware. I'm sure on your calendar, it pops up like this day is celebrating this or recognizing this. But this week is actually National Eating Disorders Week, and I think it kind of ties into our earlier conversation about isolation. There are many people who struggle with their body image and things. And I think it's important to know that there is help for individuals who are facing that. In fact, Aggie Wellness has a site for the Utah State students, because unfortunately, younger women are often the individuals that are struck with this. But there are resources and there is help available for individuals. I would encourage you, if you know of somebody who you think is struggling, it's similar to suicide prevention. Asking the questions is not going to necessarily make somebody do something. But if you think you understand someone is struggling with something, encourage them to reach out. But if you are a Utah State student, I'd encourage you to look at Aggie Wellness. They have resources just on 10 ways to love yourself, ways that if you are somebody and you are concerned about a friend, they have a handout there that talks to you about how to talk to them. How do you help somebody? How do you help direct them? But again, this is something that's a challenge that faces many people. And I'm proud of the fact that Utah State University has recognized that this can be an issue for students on their campus, and those resources are available.
That's a great, great resource. Going to give us a contact point?
Aggie Wellness.
Aggie Wellness. Okay. That's wonderful. We do have Janet with English Language Center on the line. We talk about that, and Janet is here to tell us a little bit more. Janet, thanks for joining us.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
So English Language Center of Cache Valley, tell us a kind of a range of the services there.
So basically, the English Language Center actually was founded in the mid-80s by Katie Jensen and Rhonda. And they decided to start this school, and it basically teaches English and basic life skills and U.S. citizenship preparation and employment education to adult speakers of other languages, and helps them to feel more fit into the community and learn more about our culture.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I know you do a lot of good there. So how best can people help? What are the ways people can help?
Well, we do have a website, and they can go on there to volunteer. We're always looking for donations, of course. We're strictly run on local donations, endowments, grants, that kind of thing. And they can also volunteer some time and be an aide in a classroom. Currently, we're preparing in 1 month on March 25th. We have a large event taking place at the Riverwoods Conference Center. It's our annual benefit fundraising dinner. And that's our biggest fundraiser of the year. And people can go online and purchase tickets to come to our dinner, our event. It will be a really fun evening.
Oh, that sounds great. So tell me again the particulars on that event.
So it's scheduled for March 25th at the Riverwoods Conference Center. We'll have live music, and the Cache Valley Children's Choir will also entertain us. We'll have a live auction, a silent auction, dinner, of course. Last year we had over 400 people attend. It's $95 per person per ticket, or you could invite your family and friends and have a nice evening together and purchase a table of 10 for $9.50. Of course, all of the proceeds, all of the money that is raised goes towards the students at our center. Our students are required to pay $25 per person per quarter. That's to kind of give them some ownership, and it goes toward the purchase of their book and supplies for that semester. But most of the education is supplied, is purchased and donated from through our community.
Oh, that's great. That's
so
great.
March 25th is our big event.
All right. Tell me again how you contact English Language Center if you want to give money or service.
If you go online, people can go online to www.elc-cv.org.
All right.
And purchase tickets online.
Okay. Well, Janet, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Appreciate the good work you do.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you. And that's Janet from English Language Center of Cache Valley.
So one of the other new things that I think has been happening is a collaboration with the Bear River Health Department called the Parent Collective or Connective. And they have been offering free seminars for the last couple of weeks. They meet on Thursdays at 6:30 on Zoom. So they had, I think it's like the third Thursday of the month, but they have begun. The first one was on parent management, then one was on shame-free conversations. The next one is going to be happening on March 19th. It's a documentary screening on resilience with a question and answer panel that's going to be held live at the Utah Theater. It is free. So encourage people to show up for that. It's at 7 p.m. It's for anybody 16 and older. And then they'll wrap up with two more webinars, one on April 16th about supporting intense emotions, and one on May 21st about family connection. So if you're interested in that, it's sponsored through the College of Arts and Sciences at Utah State University and Bear River Health Department. They're also collaborating with the Sorenson Center, with CAPSA, with Juniper Haven, in helping to provide this information for parenting. So it's, again, it's the Parent Connective Spring Webinar Series. You can learn more at the College of Arts and Sciences website. But again, just a really great way, I think, that our community is coming together to make sure that we're helping to lift the children in our community. Mm. I mean, they always say parenting doesn't come with a manual when your baby is born. And
right.
We all need to be aware of the need to become better educated, to become better parents. Whether you're struggling or not, it's an important thing to kind of hone your parenting skills. And I think we can all learn how to be a little bit more resilient.
Parent Connective.
Parent Connective.
Wow, that's great.
Yep. So again, March 19th at the Utah Theater at 7 p.m. It's free and open to everybody to come and screen that documentary on resilience.
All right. Let's take another brief break. We'll be back with a short final segment. We are doing a nonprofit spotlight. Love to hear from you for you to take a couple minutes. Tout your favorite nonprofit or individual. A couple of ways you can do that. 435-797-8877 is the phone number. 435-797-8877. 435-797-8877. Or our email, upraxcess@gmail.com. upraxcess@gmail.com. More following this.
A lot of information is contained in Bird Feathers. An author explains how in the 1960s, one scientist used it to draw the FAA's attention to the danger of bird strikes.
There were a million priorities that the FAA needed to address. Birds were not one of them.
The story of the world's first feather detective on the next Big Picture Science.
Tune in Sunday morning at 11 here on UPR.
A big thank you to our incredible creative artists across the state of Utah who entered work in the annual UPR Art Mug Contest. Submissions are closed now, and you have until March 2nd to vote for your favorite design. The design with the most votes will be printed on this year's UPR mug, available during our spring fund drive. You will decide the art contest winner, so choose the design you'd like to see on your UPR mug. Go to upr.org and cast your vote by noon on Monday, March 2nd. That's upr.org.
Thanks for listening to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. We're doing a nonprofit spotlight today. We have Amy Anderson with us, regional coordinator for A Bolder Way Forward, plugged into the nonprofit community. She always joins us. We do this about quarterly. So here's your chance. Another about 5 minutes left in the program today to spotlight your favorite nonprofit or individual. So I know you have a couple more. Amy, I'd like to highlight Crossroads Urban Center in Salt Lake area. Quite often around legislative time, didn't do it this year, probably will here coming up a bit. I've interviewed Bill Tibbetts with Crossroads Urban Center. They do advocacy. They do work on the Hill trying to, promote policies that reduce hunger and homelessness and poverty in Utah. But I haven't often highlighted the good they do, the work they do. So they do help the homeless. They help reduce hunger, poverty, a lot of services there at Crossroads Urban Center. And you can donate or volunteer help by going to crossroadsurbancenter.org, crossroadsurbancenter.org.
Great organization. Yeah, so one of our local organizations that I think hopefully most of us know about is CAPSA, which is the Citizens Against Physical and Sexual Abuse. And they are currently looking for nominees for their Bridge of Hope Award. This is something that they've done for the last 3 years. And they like to recognize individuals who are actually helping in this area. So if you know an individual or an organization, they always say that the strength of the organizations coming together is greater than the sum of their individual or is greater than the sum of their individual parts. But if you want to go to CAPSA.org /bridge event, you can identify and nominate somebody that you know that's working in that area of helping to reduce domestic violence and sexual assault in our communities.
All right, you can do a nomination there, Bridge of Hope with CAPSA. I want to mention Cache Valley Humanitarian Center. It's a great organization, and some of the things they do school kits, hygiene kits, sleeping mats. They take plastic bags and weave those into sleeping mats for those homeless and others in need. They provide coats and quilts, newborn kits, books for kids. So they need help. You can volunteer or give money at CacheValleyHumanitarianCenter.com, CacheValleyHumanitarianCenter.com.
And I think one organization that I think people may not recognize that can help you help other people is 211. So 211 is a website that helps people find resources. It's managed by the United Way of Northern Utah, but you can go there and find resources for so many different things. You can call 211 as well and find out what help might be available. But it's really interesting. I think sometimes we feel lost. We feel like we're in crisis. We've got something difficult going on, and we're not quite sure where to turn. So this can be a really good first stop is to get in touch with 211 and see. They link with so many different social service organizations. They have links for parenting. They have links for things like I mentioned, like domestic violence. They can link you with a shelter that's in your community. So again, this is 211 Utah. So whether you live in Vernal or you live anywhere in our state, 211 is a resource for you to find those local community things that can really help you. I think too often we know friends or family that are struggling and we're not quite sure how to help them. So this could be a tool for you personally. If you know someone struggling with something, you could go on 211 and find those things, because sometimes it's just a friendly face saying, you know, here's a way that somebody else can help you. I don't necessarily have the skill set, but here's an organization that I found that can help you. So reach out to 211.
211. One final one for me. Just want to mention Little Lambs Foundation for Kids. They serve, as they say, struggling families and foster youth. So Diaper Bank and other services, they certainly have need of help. And littlelambsofutah.org, littlelambsofutah.org. Do you have one more, Amy?
I do.
Before we close here?
You know, I think that people don't always recognize, but there are unfortunately so many people who are raising a relative's child here in our communities. And there's an organization called Grand Families, which you may or may not have heard of, but they do help provide services for people who are in that position of raising a relative's child. They do case management. They have education classes. They have clinical services. They have a way to connect you with other individuals to kind of help find somebody to help mentor. But it's through the Children's Service Society of Utah, and it's a program called Grand Families. So if you're interested in learning more about them, it's cssutah.org. But again, Grand Families, because, yeah, sometimes our families aren't in a position to be the most effective parent, and other individuals need to step in. So this is a way to help support those children through Grand Families.
Well, we've reached the end of our hour, fast-paced. I think a lot of this always makes me feel good, Amy, to see all the good being done, right? But all these organizations can use your help, so urge you to pick one and help.
Absolutely.
Amy Anderson, Regional Coordinator for Boulder Way Forward, has been with us. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. It's always a great time to be here, and thank you. I always leave feeling very heartwarmed, I guess is the word, that there are so many people willing to volunteer and help lift up others in our communities.
Certainly true. So thank you for all that everyone does. Thank you. And as I say, pick an organization and help. You've been listening to Access Utah. Thanks for listening.
It's one sky, many cultures, one sky. Skywatcher Leo T here as we check out a late arrival of winter. The stars sparkle above and in between a huge variety of clouds in the evening and night, but you can always spot a few gems shining through. If you look for a while or check every so often, get yourself a nice hot cup of chai. Of course, Orion is stretched out and Jupiter is up blazing away with Castor and Pollux in the southeast. And look low in the afterglow of sunset before that, in the last days of February, Saturn, Venus, and fast-fading Mercury bunch into a long isosceles triangle right now. See the chart. Since we're going deep tonight, let's get out the binoculars and check out the array, and while you have them, see if you can find a beautiful chain of stars called Kemble's Cascade. It's a beautiful photo on the sky and telescope on the Skywatcher Leo T Facebook page. After dark, Kemble's Cascade awaits high in the north-northwest. The cascade is an almost straight star chain with multiple colors about 2 degrees long. In the dim, sprawling, shapeless Camelopardalis, the giraffe. Anyway, one of the most unlikely animals to be found in the sky is the giraffe. The Greeks called giraffes camel leopards because of their long necks and spots, which is where the name Camelopardalis comes from. Giraffes in African mythology, where giraffes live. In mythology in Africa, the giraffe is far more than a majestic savanna animal. It's a rich symbol woven into cultural beliefs, arts, and teachings across the continent. Its ability to see far beyond makes it a symbol of insight and spiritual awareness, often representing a sage or wise elder who can guide others. In some traditions, it's seen as a mediator between earthly and spiritual realms. And it's been a while, so let's check on the Parker Solar Probe. It's way out there. It's checking out the sun. The Parker Solar Probe is NASA's Sunchild probe and has been closer to the sun than any other spaceship. On December 24, 2024, it came in at 3.8 million miles, which sounds like a lot, but you're talking about the sun here. As it checks out the corona, the spacecraft follows a highly elliptical orbit around the sun, gradually shrinking its perihelion, or closest distance. It's using 7 Venus gravity assists. It is completely NASA-like and amazing that the ship takes a gravity boost from the sun to go all the way out to Venus, to catch more speed and head back even closer to the sun at record-breaking speeds. As of mid-February 2026, the probe is in the portion of the orbit farther from the sun, out toward Venus, moving very fast in the constellation Aquarius. From Earth's perspective, the probe continues to transmit data back to Earth as it moves along its orbit. And NASA's giant moon rocket is headed to the hangar this week for repairs. Before the astronauts get on, NASA just finished repeat fueling Thursday to ensure dangerous hydrogen fuel leaks were plugged when another problem cropped up. This time it's the rocket's helium system, postponing the astronauts' trip to the moon for a little while. Engineers had tamed the hydrogen leaks and settled on a March 6th launch date when the helium issue arose. It's a test flight. I keep saying that. It's a test flight. And it always is a test flight. These things have not been done before, so NASA's doing what they need to do to keep the astronauts safe and hopefully the flight going to the moon. Helium flow is the rocket's upper stage. It was disrupted. Helium's needed to purge the engines and pressurize the fuel tanks, so we'll shoot for the moon in April. For more, tune into the podcast by clicking on the link on the Skywatcher Facebook page. Check it out for all the photos. Look around, get lost, way lost in space, Skywatcher Leo T.